Glenn, rare to get a game where there are no minor penalties called. That really did play into Mike Babcock's hands last night, didn't it?
Well, it was a game that had kind of many interests for me. One, the Leafs faced some big adversity mm-hmm. at home. All kinds of people asking whether they're the real deal at home. They showed last night they could face the adversity after one and win a game that they probably shouldn't have won earlier in the year, but did. And no replays on the score sheet. They take their 2 points, and they beat a team that was that they are better than. So, to me, that game tells me a lot. It tells me a lot about a team that you can't always paint the Picasso. Sometimes mm-hmm. you paint the barn. And if the barn is going to get painted without penalties, without power plays, without a lot of contributions from your bigger guys, so be it. Take the 2 points and run, because they really matter in April.
Now, I know you're a big fan of analytics.
Not at all.
I know.
That's okay.
I say that all the time.
Analytics is what it is, analytics. You've got to get the term right.
I like to give you a chance to say it because it does bring a smile to my face. But Tyler Ennis is a guy who, some of the underlying numbers behind his game have been pretty good. And, we saw that goal he scored last night. I think just a reminder of how skilled offensively this guy can be. And a reminder of what he was about when he came into the league, right?
Yeah, you can't be 5'2" and be in the league unless you got something going for you.
Mm-hmm.
And his skill set is high octane. He's got some quick hands. He can skate. He goes to the right areas. You know, win a cup with him? I don't know. Probably not, in June with that guy on one of your top two lines. But he's a guy who's shown he's beaten all the odds. He's a player that's competed, found a way to get on a roster where we never thought he would get on a roster. And maybe, Nylander's situation helps him in a big way. But last night was a game where he showed up, he played really well. I don't need analytics to watch the television and go, well, every time I watch this guy on a shift, he's in my screen. Mm-hmm. So he's doing something right. And last night was a night where not a lot going from an offensive spark. Maybe Marner was the only guy that stuck out to me, but he stuck out and made a difference on a night when, they were clearly looking for someone to step up and make a difference.
We also saw last night the return of the stretch pass, and I know that a lot of talk had been made about how teams were taking that away from the Leafs. And teams are taking it away from the Leafs, but Glenn, I think that's almost best used, isn't it, as a change of pace. I don't know if you can necessarily rely on that stretch pass in the NHL. I think you can use it. You can use it as a change of pace, maybe pull it out of your every now and then. And I think maybe that's what's happened with the Leafs here.
Yeah, they're quick strike offense. They're chip and chase and gain territory. The quicker they can get into the offensive zone, that's where they want to be. They're clearly not a team that likes to play on the defensive side of the puck. Getting that territory, getting in the offensive zone and letting their skilled guys do their magic. Every team kind of plays the same way. And really, if you analyze and break down kind of all of the teams in the NHL, there's not a whole lot of difference between Team 1 and Team 31, soon to be 32. They play the same way. Cut the ice in half, force you to the boards, try to take away your chess pieces, clog up the neutral zone, slow the game down as much as they can, and then rely on a game like Anderson had last night where your goalie wins a game for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, we move on. Let's go. MasterCard Center, quick practice, and we'll worry about the next game against a team we're going to beat as well. That's kind of the same way for every team. You hate to break it down that way, but there's no secrets. It's not like you've got some secret weapon. We're going to watch Latvia in the Sochi Olympics do a secret play that they came up with. It's a lacrosse play that I've never seen in my life, and it worked for a goal against Team Canada. That doesn't happen in the NHL. Just doesn't. And so, a lot of them, they kind of play the same way. And that chip and chase game territory, playing the offensive side of the puck, that's the way most teams like to play.
One of the stats I think we can throw out without it's not necessarily an analytical stat, but Freddie Anderson's save percentage in the third period of games this year is, I believe, now over what's pretty damn close to 960. It might be over 960. Look, I know, Glenn, we've talked about Freddie Anderson. I think he's been this team's MVP. But when, what are you seeing, or what have you seen in these past six games or so, you know, that we weren't seeing from him in his previous seasons with the Leafs? You know, because he did have that slow start to just about, well, to most of the seasons he was here. I think this is, what, his third or fourth season. He's been much better. There's a big difference just... He's in better shape and just seems more confident?
No, I think every athlete, they find their level. And, you know, when Freddie first got here, he wasn't a starter. He was splitting the net with another goaltender. And then it was validation of his contract, and that's always tough because it was questioned. I mean, everyone was looking at the deal, the amount of assets they gave up, and you're giving this guy $5 million, and... you know, all the rest of that, and then the injury, that then you've got to validate, try to get back, and I'm a slow starter, and then the next year, it's, you go back to October and say, yeah, started really slow in October. Man, high ankle sprain will do that to any goaltender. It could do that to anybody who's traveling on the GO train to get to work today. I mean, it was a factor, and so he's kind of championed all of these question marks, and yeah, he is a far different goaltender than he was 3 years ago. If he was the same goalie as he was 3 years ago, we'd be looking for a new goalie. We're not, because each one of these little life lessons that he champions just puts another, you know, kind of feather in his cap where he says, yeah, I can play back-to-back. Yes, I can play five straight games. Yes, I can play three games in four nights. Like, all of these things make you a better player. And, you know, pretty much every player that I've ever played with that has that level of greatness or that level of competency, you know, they champion and relish those little benchmarks to say, I can beat that. I can do that. I can play this many minutes. I can, you know, play on the power. I can kill penalties. Mm-hmm. Every player has the same kind of psyche. And so he's a different goaltender than he was a couple of years ago. Good on him. He's a much more complete goaltender. Now it's not a question of can we make the playoffs, it's how deep we can go in the playoffs. That's his next one. That's the one for me I'm really going to want to see. How deep can he take this team in the playoffs? Maybe in a series where they don't belong. Maybe where they play a Boston or a Tampa Bay, and Tampa is a better team. But guess what? He's the better player, and they move on and then go to the next round. And so that's his next benchmark for me. I don't have any question about his skill level, his competency, his confidence level. He's a darn good National Hockey League goalie, one of the top, you know, 12 in the National Hockey League. But can he take this team to the next level? That's his next feather he's got to put in his cap.
And I would think, Glenn, it's especially important in some ways for goaltenders as well, right? Because you are the last line of defense. And there is, like, we talked about the importance of goaltenders and the importance to that of that position compared to other positions in sports. To me, it's a lot like a pitcher. You know, pitchers will tell you they have checkpoints. You know, hey, my first complete game, my first season of 200 innings, my first winning streak, stuff like that. There are mental checkpoints for people who are kind of in those almost individual positions in team sports, aren't there?
Yes, and goaltending, you know, typically there's your mistake ends up on the board.
Yeah.
So you're back to center ice, the referee's got the puck, and okay, and you're glancing over at the bench, see if you're going to get the next save. So it's a difficult position, a great position to play, but it's one that's got a different uniqueness than pretty much any other position that's on the team. You know, it's the same thing. Like, the great players like Tavares, he'd be the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, the team could win five in a row. If he doesn't get a shot on net, doesn't score a goal, you can't tell me he's got pressure on himself. He's not looking at it going, hey, we won five in a row. It's great. No problem. I don't mind if I never score the rest of the year. BS. These guys are paid to respond in a way at an elite level. And that's exactly what it would be like for Freddie or any other goaltender. And any team that's not making the playoffs or has a coach getting fired, you can probably look at the net and say, didn't quite get enough saves at the right time, and that's why I'm not working tomorrow. And as a result, here you go. You've got, you know, inadequate goaltending, you pretty much have an average team.
The Preds beat the Lightning. Therefore, the Maple Leafs are in first place in the conference through 21 games. No William Nylander. Austin Matthews, I believe he's missed half of those games, close to half of those games. What does that say to you about the Leafs at the quarter pole?
Well, there's a reason they got picked to be the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. Vegas doesn't put odds on something that's a whim. They looked at that club, and so did the hockey world, and said, this is a really good young team that can score, and scoring goals is pinnacle in this National Hockey League. And so this is a real, good first 21 games for them, where they've shown the entire hockey world that we're the real deal. We can beat anybody at any time. We don't even have to play good. We can play a game like last night. We're just average, and we can find some analytics that show we were really good, but it doesn't matter. And yet find a way to win and beat hockey teams. And they probably, against Carolina midweek, they don't even have to play good in that game. They probably can win that one as well. Any really good team that I've been on, that's been the way it is. You don't always have to play in the game of the century. You can just go out and throw your sticks in the middle and, found a way to win another one. Okay, move on. So I just think they're a deep team with a lot of real good players that can score, that has great coaching, a lot of confidence, good goaltending. There's not a lot of glaring weakness on the team. Yeah, would you like to have their defense better? Probably. Of course, what team doesn't want another defenseman in their roster to be able to tap someone on the shoulder and say, you're up next because you're better than the guy that was just on the ice? They all do. But right now, for the way they sit, with what they're missing, they're a pretty good team. This could not be a worse start for William Nylander. Hmm. For a player who has absolutely no leverage, none, zero leverage other than sitting out, this could not be a worse start for him. If the club was 500 or the club sit in the middle of the pack, he would have some leverage. He has less leverage now than he had at the beginning of June when they started negotiating.
So, that leads to the next question, which we'll ask again next week, unless it's answered, and probably the week after that, once the deadline arrives here. Do you buy into the feeling that seems to be growing out there, Glenn, that this may in fact end with him with neither a trade nor a contract? Or do you think that there's still a chance that something gets done here?
I think there's a chance that something gets done because, again, you've got to be smart and understand when you have leverage. Every negotiation is leverage. You've got to be willing to walk away from a deal to make one. I think that's where the Leafs are at. I think you also have to be realistic in your approach and understand that, okay, as a player, this is not going to be my payday. As a player, I'm going to get a payday later on. And the Leafs are in a situation where they're not budging. Mm-hmm. Like if you think for a second that they were going to budge, they're not.
They would have budged by now if they were going to, wouldn't they?
They would absolutely have tried to satisfy a young player to keep them in the fold, and they're not. And so you have to be realistic with your numbers, realistic with the fate of what the Leafs are for this year, next year, and every other future year. And if the player's not willing to do it, again, this is a comparable. Whenever the contract is done, whatever they decide on a number, it affects 30 other teams, because then every other player can say, well, that's what Nylander got, and he's a comparable for me. So now you've adjusted the salary structure of every team in the National Hockey League. And so you not only have the internal pressure of making sure that we keep within our budget, keep within our scope, keep making sure that we get Marner signed and we get Matthews signed next year, but also the rest of the teams in the league looking in at you saying, don't overpay for this player. If you do, it's going to affect me, and you can hear it times 30, other teams. So it's all about leverage. Every negotiation is about leverage. Player has no leverage. This is the only time the club has leverage. And I hope, in my mind, for the player's sake, get realistic and get back playing. Get doing what you do best. Because sitting a year out and then losing the rights for that year, that just makes no sense to me. Because you'll be back in the same position a year from now. And if this club lifts the Stanley Cup over its head, you will regret it the rest of your life.
Before he lets you run, you said something a little earlier that caught my attention. You talked about how really good teams kind of have the mindset. It was almost, let's not, poke through the embers, through the innards of every win, right? Let's just, it's a win, we move on, we practice, we've got another game. When you are a team like the Leafs, a good team, what does piss you off if you're in that team? Like, what type of game would piss you off if you were the Leafs?
Well, I think every player owes it to his teammate sits beside him on the bench to, you know, kind of give it the best that he possibly can. And there are nights when it just isn't there. There's nights when Tavares just doesn't have legs. The Leaf team last night in the first period, you know, brand new skates, yes. Take them out of the box, for goodness sakes. Would you guys get skating, please? Mm-hmm. It just happens. We won a President's Trophy in 94. Half the games, we were great for the first 20 minutes or 30, and then lousy for the next 30. And it was, okay, Mike Richter, hang in there and win us this game. It happens. But I think it's when players mail it in, when they're not responsible to their teammates, not accountable to, you know, what they're trying to accomplish as a group. That's when it frustrates you. We go to block a shot and the flamingo comes. Take a penalty that's very, very selfish. Those are situations that drive teammates nuts. Giving an effort and lacking execution, that happens pretty much every day in Toronto on Bay Street. It just happens. So there are times you come into this radio station and say, I'm going to have the best show ever. And boy, the questions are tough to come out and your guests are tough and you just think to yourself, that wasn't a good day, but not through lack of trying, not through lack of effort, not through lack of accountability. So I think that's the biggest thing. Anyone who's on a team just wants accountability. Just show me that you care. Show me you want to be accountable. Show me you're doing the best you possibly can. And if your best today is 70%, then that's your best. And I'm not going to hold you to that other than the fact that tomorrow's going to be better. And I think the Leaf team, they look at that win and say, yeah, it wasn't our best. We won. We're going to be better when we play Carolina.
Good stuff as always, Mr. Healy. Take care.
All right, Jeffrey. The Nylander watch is on. Here we go. Tick-tock.
Tick-tock, indeed.
You're on the clock.